1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read together from verse 8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. We'll end our reading at the end of verse 17. And I'm going to hand over to Dan now, who will bring to us our text for the year. Thank you, Dan.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. Happy New Year. When you're growing up and you're little, falling over is a very common thing. Kids fall over all the time. Mike Gideon plays with John Bingham a lot, and when Gideon comes back home every day covered in mud, he's fallen over multiple times. When a middle-aged man falls over, or a middle-aged woman, or someone more mature, it's embarrassing. I went for a run the other week, and Oak Hill Park, where there's no park run at the moment, but where I go for a run, it's quite a narrow way, and because of COVID, everyone's very nervous, and I think people who are non-runners must be very annoyed of runners running past. Anyway, I thought I'd do the great thing and step onto the grass, and then try and jump back from the muddy grass back onto the pavement, and there's that awful feeling. I didn't actually fall over, I did keep my balance, but that awful feeling when you know I'm about to fall over, I'm about to slip. Just think about the last time you may have slipped. Maybe it was on ice. I had another experience the other week on one of the kids' scooters, trying to go fast down something, and the back end started to go away. And again, I just held on to it, but it's a very scary feeling. Maybe as we start the new year, you're thinking that feeling about your life. Are you fully in control? Do you feel as if things are slipping? Well, as John's already said, we always have a verse for the year, and the verse for this year is going to be from that passage that John just read to us from 1 Peter 3. And before we look at the verse, I just want to give a little bit of a context to this book of 1 Peter, because it's a book that really is really relevant for us as Christians. It's a situation where Peter wrote the letter, where Christians weren't facing outright persecution, but it was uncomfortable to be a Christian. It was difficult. It was hard. And so Peter writes a letter. If you've got the Bible in front of you, then you can follow me. If you don't, it doesn't matter. But at the end of the letter, Peter tells the people to whom he's writing why he's written the letter. And it's all about standing firm. It's about not slipping, not having that awful feeling of, I'm about to fall on my backside. He says this: I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God Stand fast in it. Isn't that a great way that I think as a church and as individual Christians, followers of Jesus, we would want to look ahead to the year on January the 3rd to say, this is a year when I want to stand firm in the grace of God. Yes, there's all kinds of pressures. There's public health pressures, there's educational pressures, there's governmental pressures, there's increasing pressures to be a Christian in our country, and yet we know that we can stand firm in the grace of God. We're not going to have that feeling in our stomach of that we're about to fall over. Now, how do we stand firm in the grace of God? For many people and for many churches, it might be that our attitude could be, well, what we need to do is just look in inside of ourselves and just kind of hold hands and pray that Jesus is going to come again. And we're not going to look out, but we're just going to be a holy huddle, and that's how we stand firm. It might be that we don't look in, but rather we lash out. We kind of get very angry about what's going on, about all kinds of issues. I don't think that they're great responses. I don't think that's what the Lord encourages us to do, especially from this letter and throughout his teaching. We're not simply to look in and be a holy huddle. We're not to lash out. Rather, as 1 Peter encourages us, we're to look up and look out. Look up and look after each other, but look out into our community and into our world. And so this is the verse that I'd love us to memorize and concentrate on as our verse for the year. 1 Peter 3:15. Now, it's not the most memorable verse in terms of tripping off the tongue, so it needs a little bit of practice, I think, to get it. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. This is going to be our verse for the year. And as John said, there's over 100 postcards over there with that verse on. Please take them, take a couple, send one, put one on your fridge. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And all I'm going to do in the next few minutes is just break that verse down. Two things to say about the first sentence and something to say about the second sentence. And hopefully that should give a picture of what this verse is about, which all leads back to how do we stand firm? How do we have confidence so that we don't think that we're slipping and we don't fall? So, here we go. This first bit, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And what I want to say to you is that this verse, this section of this verse, is all about this. It's about not being fearful, but being fearless. Not being fearful, but fearless. Look at our verse. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Well, why does the but? What is Peter saying? We need to revere Christ as Lord, but the word but at the beginning implies that there's something that we shouldn't be doing. And he's told us that. John read it out in verse 14 or 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Here we go. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. So do not fear them or do not fear their threats. Some of you who are looking at the Bible there, you'll see there's a little variation. It could be Peter saying, don't fear the people who are trying to persecute you, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Or it could be, don't fear what the other people fear, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. It could mean either. Actually, I think both really make sense. So let's say that both are true. We are not to fear other people who are making our lives difficult as Christians. Maybe they're taking the mickey out of us for being a Christian at school. Maybe it's hard to be a Christian at work. We're also not to fear what they fear. Now, of course, we're with everyone else at the moment. There's all kinds of things that we're fearful about. This is what I spoke about at the carol service. We're fearful of our own health. We're fearful of getting corona, or people that we love getting corona and being really ill. We're fearful of what this means economically for our jobs and our prospects going forward. We're worried about school exams and what does that mean? What does the future hold? We're worried about our job security. All of these things. We've got all kinds of things to be worried and fearful about. But Peter says, do not fear. Do not fear what other people fear, or do not fear those people. Now, in some ways, fear is a very natural response. It's not wrong to be fearful of certain things. But we need to get our fears in perspective. Now, here's the kind of the puzzle we're trying to work out. How does revering Christ as Lord, or setting Christ apart as holy, how does that deal with fear? These letters, as you will know, used to be read in the churches. So someone would get the letter, there'd be a letter carrier, the letter would come to the church, and then the letter would be read out in front of the church. And you can imagine what the people who first heard this letter would have thought when Peter said, don't worry about what other people fear. Don't worry about that. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. They might say, well, Peter, you're writing hundreds of miles away. It's okay for you to say that, but we're getting in the neck here. We're suffering for being a Christian. It's hard. We're fearful. You can say don't worry or don't fear, but we're fearful. But Peter knows what it's like to have understood deep fear. In the book of Acts, the book that we're going to study this year, when we come to chapter 12, we'll know that Herod had tried to kill Peter. Peter knows what it's like to be fearful for his own life. But he still says to the Christians in our letter, don't fear what other people fear. Do not fear them, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Well, what's the answer? Well, the answer is that Peter knows where the power is. Remember, Peter had been that hardened fisherman in a boat, and there was an amazing storm that came up, and Jesus was asleep, and these fishermen said, "We're going to drown." And yet Jesus got up and he said to the wind and the waves, "Be quiet." And what does the verse say? They were terrified. They were terrified, in a good sense, about the amazing power that Jesus had over the wind and the waves. And I think that's what Peter's getting at here. When we revere Christ as Lord, when we say that Jesus is Lord, we're saying that Jesus has all power over my life, over everyone else's life. He is the Lord. And so if Jesus is Lord, all of our other fears are, they don't disappear, but they're completely relativized. They're not as fearful, because we know that we've set apart Christ as Lord. All of you, or some of you, may be very fearful this morning about all kinds of things. You're not going to admit it, maybe. But just think about the things that you're fearful of as we start this year together. And Peter says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. As we lift Christ up, in the way that we sing, in the way that we pray, in the way that we talk about him, in the way that that reflects our priorities of life, as we lift Christ up, our fears disappear. And as we fear God, our other fears disappear. we do live in a very scary world at the moment. And increasingly, we as a church want to take the gospel out to people, to talk about who Jesus is, to say that Jesus is Lord. But putting ourselves about is scary. Raising the church's profile in the community is scary. But what we have to do is replace fear with faith. Yes, people will think that the answer that we've got to give is stupid and offensive and irrelevant. But we know that when we set Christ apart as holy, that he is our Lord and he is on our side. And at the end of the day, who cares what other people think of us with Jesus on our side? Does it really matter what a school friend says about being a Christian, knowing that you go to church? Does it matter what a work colleague says? At the end of the day, because we know that Jesus is our Lord, and what he thinks about us is most important. So friends, as we start the year together, we're not to be fearful. Rather, we're to be fearless. Fearless about our faith. Secondly, the next bit. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Giving an answer or giving a defense. The word is apology. It's where we get this word that some people use, apologetics. It's defending the faith. And we're to give a reason. It's verbal. It's the idea of being giving a reason in a law court. But what does this mean? What does this verse mean? Always be prepared to give a reason, an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Well, we saw our first thing, not being fearful, but fearless. But here I want to reverse it and say this. Here we're not to be hopeless, but we're to be hopeful. We're not to be hopeless, but we're to be hopeful. How are we going to be hopeful this year and not hopeless? During COVID, many people have taken comfort in reading poetry. And lots of people have been reading poetry. And some poems have kind of captured the feeling that many people have. Many people who are scared and anxious and fearful and despairing. And one of the poems that you may have come across it, you may not, that's been very influential, or lots of people have read, it is a poem by an Irish poet called Derek Mann, who actually died in October. This was a poem that he wrote many years ago. But people have used this poem, and I want us to just look at it for a minute. It is a touching poem. It does say many good things. But I want us to put it in the context of what we're talking about here, about giving a reason for hope. So here's the poem. If you can't see it, I'm just going to read it. And the poem is called Everything is Going to Be All Right. How should I not be glad to contemplate the clouds clearing beyond the dormer window and a high tide reflected on the ceiling? There will be dying. There will be dying. But there is no need to go into that. The poems flow from the hand unbidden, and the hidden source is the watchful heart. The sun rises in spite of everything, and the far cities are beautiful and bright. I lie here in a riot of sunlight, watching the daybreak and the clouds flying. Everything is going to be all right. Now, lots of people have commented on that poem, that it's given them great comfort and solace during COVID. Somebody said that there are moments in life that that life is so hard, and without warning, we have these moments that make us feel as if that there's more to life than just these terrible things that are going on. Someone else says this. They'd read this poem as an undergraduate, and now they've come back to it. This person had come back to it as an older man. He said this: "Now, of course, I'm returning to the poem as a middle-aged man, and I read it completely differently. I have had cancer. The day I was told I was well again, a young poet friend of mine took her own life. Other friends and relatives have died, two especially close friends, in as many weeks earlier this year. The poem insists there will be dying, there will be dying, but immediately skirts around the issue. I think this kind of bravado in a poem, albeit in a tone of low-key assertion, I know it is not true, but nevertheless, while I am in the dream of the narrative, I am once again prepared to believe and live it a little stronger, perhaps in the moments after reading it." The reason I want us to look at this poem is that in some ways, there are some touching things about this poem, but at the end of the day, it is a hopeless poem. It is hopeless. It's saying, yes, life is really hard, and yes, you are going to die, but we're not going to think about that now. Just hold on to the moment that you have. And of course, we know as Christians, there are incredible moments that God gives us in creation that we are to enjoy. I'm not saying that they are not wonderful things that we can't grasp onto. But even the poet here realizes there will be dying, there will be dying, but there is no need to go into that. It's a kind of, well, I'm just going to put my head in the sand and not think about it and just enjoy the moment. Now, at the end of the day, is that the hope that humans have about life? That life's basically rubbish. There are a few moments of glimpses of kind of greatness, but at the end of the day, it is rubbish and we are going to die. Compare that poem with the beginning of 1 Peter. "Praise be to the Lord, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, I want to argue that that is real hope. This is something that we can grasp onto. It's only Christians who can really say everything is going to be all right. Why? Because we know that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And when that happened, as we are united to him through faith, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Yes, we all experience signs of decay as we slip and fall. Yes, physically we're going to die, and yet we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's been kept for us, who through faith, look, are shielded by God's power. We're shielded by God in an amazing way until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I can give you comfort because the Word gives us comfort this morning. Peter gives us comfort this morning. That if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, even in this very scary world at the beginning of 2021, we can say with confidence everything is going to be all right. Not because we kind of cross our fingers and put our head in the sand and say, well, you know, it could be all right. We hope it is. We know it's going to be all right because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That is our hope. Surely that's something to grab onto at the beginning of this year, with everything else going kind of strangely all around us. We know that we can be hopeful. We can be hopeful. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Lots of people want to talk about hope at the moment, but do they really have a good reason for the hope that they have? It seems more like a, well, I hope it's true. Let's just get through it. We have good reasons, real reasons. And those reasons just aren't intellectual. They're about the whole person. We know Jesus Christ. We know that our hope is not just a kind of a philosophy. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the verse here says this: always be prepared to give an answer. This is something that we need to be thinking about ourselves as a church this year. Something that the elders need to think about and the church leadership. Can you give a reason for the hope that you have when someone asks you? Are you prepared? How do we make ourselves prepared? Yes, we are shielded by God's power. But as we are shielded, we defend at the same time. We give a reason for the hope that we have. Maybe that's something to think through. And this verse is not just written to individual Christians. It's written to a group of people. A group of people. We are a body here at East Finchley. And I'd love us to take this verse and not just think about it in terms of our own personal lives, but also as a church as well. As a church, are we prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Francis Schaeffer, one of the greatest evangelists, apologists of the 20th century, said this: our relationship with each other is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the ultimate apologetic. In other words, Christian community is the ultimate defense, is the ultimate reason that we have. So this year, how are we going to show ourselves as a loving body of people so that people will look on and say, wow, there's something different about those people? Yeah, they're being very sensible about public health, but at the end of the day, they still kind of want to be together. They want to look out for one another. They want to look out into the community and serve the community. How do we do that? People who are rootless and homeless and dysfunctional, they don't want to look in at the church here and see more of the same of that. They want to see people who are loving each other, looking out for one another as well. So, I close. We're not to be fearful people, but we're to be fearless people. We need to go out knowing that Jesus is on our side. He's our Lord. And we revere him as such. And then we're not to be hopeless people, but we have a sure and certain hope. The new birth brought about in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Something that we can really hold on to. It's not a kind of cross my fingers and say, I hope it's going to be all right. We have a certain hope. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Please, as you go out this morning, take a card, take a few cards. You might want to give it to someone or send it to someone. Stick it on your fridge. We've got enough. Everyone can take one. It's not a problem. They'll be there. If you don't take them, they'll just be sitting there all year, and that will defeat the object. So please take a few of these and do something with it. You put it in your Bible along with the prayer guide as well. Stick it on the fridge. Have it by your bedside. And think about how we can be fearless and hopeful people. Let's pray together. Lord, perhaps even this morning, some of us feel fearful and hopeless. We pray, Lord, that we would have been encouraged this morning. For those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we set him apart as Lord in the things that we've sung, in our prayers, in the fact that we're here, Lord, that we would once again be hopeful and fearless. Lord, there are so many things where we think that it's very hard to stand firm in the grace of God. We feel as if we're slipping all over the place. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that we are being shielded. You are shielding us at the moment. And as we are shielded, so we can give a reason for the hope that we have. Yes, in gentleness and respect, but a certain and solid reason based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord, we don't have to be people who cross our fingers and close our eyes and just say it's going to be all right when we don't really know. We have a sure and certain hope. May we be people who reflect that, because we know as Christians this morning that everything will be okay. We know that Jesus is Lord. He is coming again. We do have that inheritance. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We pray that would be our attitude as a church this year, as we seek to reach out into our community and to look after each other as well. May we be a witness. May we be that ultimate apologetic or defense. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.